final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning, talking Titans and the NFL Draft. And to help us discuss that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2 for the best 12 to 14 minutes in sports radio per week. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Well, not as blessed as you are at this moment, but I'm good.
Well, it's just an honor and a privilege every single week to have you on the program. So let's just kick things off with the Will Levis question, right? So the Titans pass on him at 11.
I'm starting with Steph Curry, but go ahead.
Well, we could. Titans pass on him at number 11. They trade back up at number 33 to get Will Levis and select him to be the quarterback of the future for the Tennessee Titans. What did you make of that pick, and what did you make of the way that that pick played out for the Titans in terms of what it took to go get him?
Well, somebody was going to do it, right? I mean, somebody was going to go. I'm just frankly stunned that he and Hooker both went that long, especially Hooker. Because, like, I know they're looking at stuff that we don't look at. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, I've seen Will Levis play a handful of games, and they've watched everything that they've got of him. You know, the handful I've got, weren't his best performances. That's for sure. But they saw enough to think that, you know, when you took a flyer on Malik Willis in the third, that was, hey, we'll give it a shot. I mean, you're trading up for 33. That's a big pick. I mean, that's an investment, and that's saying that there is a hearty belief that this guy can be your starting quarterback in a year. I think it's a good setup for him. It doesn't force him to come in and play right away. You know, he can sit and he can learn, and play under Tannehill for a year. And so I think that's a good setup for him, and it's a good setup for them. I don't think the cost is horrific, but they swapped threes and they gave up a third next year. I mean, they always seem to be behind the draft eight ball in picks, but pretty confident if they didn't move up to get him, somebody else would have.
And so, like you said, it's a show of confidence in him, but of course they could have shown a lot more confidence by taking him at 11.
Yeah. It's also like a tackle more.
Yeah. Or guard. It's also a show of, I think, confidence that Malik Willis is not going to work out a year after that. That's one thing I was thinking about this yesterday. It's like, I mean, a year ago at this very moment, we're like, okay, I think I wrote something. Other people we talked about, it's like, okay, so basically Malik Willis gets this year. And then in 23, he's competing with Tannehill to take over the starting job. I mean, it's amazing how things change. But also, Corey, because I don't know what Malik Willis has done this offseason. He may come back and be like, hey, Will Levis, watch this. You can't hang with me. I don't know. What about the idea of cutting Tannehill and just going with Willis, with Will Willis at quarterback? Levis and Willis at quarterback. I mean, is that absolutely off the table?
That would be horrifying to me. I mean, that would be absolutely horrifying. That would be like waking up, and you don't even have a chance to run. You've got 10 zombies around your bed. I mean, that's how horrifying that would be to me. Malik Willis didn't do anything last year to show me he could possibly be ready to start this year. That doesn't mean he can't ever be. I'm just saying from what I saw last year, the struggles to complete any kind of passes downfield was real. And he's still got a lot of supporters, and that's great. And I hope he wears a gold jacket one day. I do. How many successful quarterbacks in the National Football League struggled as massively as he did last year to complete any kind of pass in a football game? I mean, people here like to bang on Jake Locker, and they like to bang on Marcus Mariota. I like to bang on Vince Young from time to time. None of them came close to struggling at the level that Malik Willis did last year. Not even close. So I think that's crazy. And then, Will Levis, we haven't seen him take a snap in practice. So I just think that, and look, you're setting yourself up for the opportunity to pick first, and then you'd be picking a quarterback for the third year in a row.
Or Marvin Harrison Jr.
Could be that, too.
Brock Bowers.
Well, at that point, you're still going to need somebody to throw him the football.
Yeah,
for sure. It doesn't work.
What do you make of how much different the AFC South looks just after one weekend with Richardson in Indy, obviously Stroud in Houston, and now Levis here in Nashville?
Well, like when you're bad, and the AFC South has been bad for a long time, this is what happens. You know, you pick, up in the, where they have three of the top 11 picks. And when you're picking that high, generally some of you are searching for a quarterback. And in this case, all of them were. So it's predictable, but it's exciting if they work out. Unfortunately, this isn't like Joe Burrow. This isn't like, some of these Andrew Luck, where you're just like, yeah, this guy's going to be really, really good. We think Bryce Young is going to be good if he can survive. We think C.J. Stroud is going to be decent, but for whatever reason, we're all not sold on the level that we were on the other people. I think he's been drugged through the mud so hard over the last couple of weeks. And look, Anthony Richardson and Will Levis are both leaps of faith. They're both really, big, strong, talented guys, but they don't have the results that make you go, C.J. Stroud, he's got like 85 touchdowns in 2 years and 8,000 yards. Will Levis has like 5,000 yards and 23 interceptions in 2 years. Those are vastly different results, obviously for vastly different teams. But also, Will Levis couldn't unseat the guy in Penn State who got drafted in like the sixth round. So, there's leaps of faith for everybody. And if these guys produce, it's a really exciting time for the division.
What about the rest of the Titans draft, Corey? No receivers until the seventh round. Tyjae Spears, there's some medicals out there that are very discouraging on him. The Titans medical staff said thumbs up 2 years ago. Same thing was talked about with Caleb Farley. How do you assess the entirety of this haul?
Well, first off,
give us a grade, Corey. Give us a grade.
Yes, please.
I'm not giving a grade. I do give them an A for this, sticking to their board. And because I think in the last couple of years, they probably got away from that a little bit. But I think they really stuck to their board and saying, hey, we may need this position, but, this guy's so much higher on our board than he is. This is where we're going. As far as the running back, it's a third-round pick on a part-time player. And I guess that's kind of what I have a hard time with. I mean, even like, say, Derrick Henry's gone next year, he's 195 pounds. He's still a third-down back. He's not going to be able to last at that size. And so it's a third-round pick on a part-time player. But you know what? If he scores six touchdowns this year, we'll all be saying, great pick. He's a weapon if he's healthy. And so I like adding weapons. I like Skoronski, guys. I mean, he's a good football player. And I think I'm just a believer in adding good football players. I know Jared is all bent that he has to play tackle. It would be nice if he played tackle. But if he goes to Canton playing guard or center, I don't care. I don't care. He's a good football player. And if he performs at that level at those positions, I have no problem with that whatsoever. The receiver thing is puzzling, and it just keeps saying to me the same thing, that there's got to be somebody out there who they think they're going to be able to shake free or is going to shake free that they're going to be able to get. Because to go into the season with the room that they've got right now, it's kind of like that zombie scenario. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, pretty scary for sure. And, we were going through the depth chart earlier. Like right now, it's Treylon Burks. I guess Kyle Phillips is in the slot. And then you have one of either Chris Moore or NWI playing on the outside. That does not inspire a ton of confidence in me.
No, it kind of looks like the XFL or the USFL. I mean, and I just say that because, those guys are – none of those guys are starters, all right? They're depth guys. And NWI has – shown he's been able to play for this team, and it's not horrible putting him out there, but there's no team in the league that's going, well, we really got to account for NWI in this one. He's going to come out and get us. And the Titans need more of that on the outside. Because, you know, I know we always get back to when they had A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown was a problem, and he was a problem for everybody, and he continues to be. And obviously they need Treylon Burks to be a problem, but you got to have more than one problem. And, you know, you can't have other guys where they're like, okay, who's our worst DB? Just you go play with him for a while and know you're going to be okay. So they need somebody. They really do. And I thought one of the most interesting things Mike Vrabel had to say on Sunday was about this new wave of free agency that was coming up today, and that they were, it sounded like they were ready for, actually talked about restructuring contracts. So it sounds like they know they've got to make a move, and they've got a plan to make a move.
Yeah, that was interesting. I went back and forth because he did explain it, but in my mind it was like, is he telling us that they got something in mind, or is he just sort of saying, by the way, this does exist, you know, don't everybody freak out right now. You know, I could buy either way.
He's talked about for a while how the roster is going to look different, and sure it will, but none of us really cares about 49 through 53 different. We care about guys who are going to be actually on the field different. And the way he went into that, because there were two or three questions about it, he sounded pretty, you know, steadfast that they were going to be looking and moving.
Corey, last thing for you. What did you think of Darnell Wright going 10 to your beloved Chicago Bears?
You know, I love the pick. I mean, 6'6", 330 pounds. I mean, that's a big dude. He's young. He's like 21 years old still, or 22. And, you know, like he was going around one. There was no question about that. And it's just a question of, you know, which team was he the right fit for at what position. You know, I like that they were able to trade down and get another pick and still get the guy that they wanted. He is a masher. And as they approached the draft, his stock did nothing but rise because, you know, when tested, when put into all-star competition, you know, he did really, really well. And he stoned the guy who got picked third overall. So, you know, I really like that pick for the Bears. I've always said I'm a big believer in building teams inside out. I've kind of changed a little bit because you need weapons on the outside. But the Bears have weapons now. So, you know, they were in position to take that offensive lineman, and I like the pick.
Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Right?
It was great.
It was amazing.
It was worthy of the exclamation point I put on the tweet last night announcing you were coming on the show. Thanks for being with us.
I thought you might have sprained a digit hitting that exclamation point.
I think I may have.
I mean, I love the tease. Like, there's like four lines about something, and then Corey Curtis
coming up at 8.
That's all that needs to be said.
Look, there's a character limit on Twitter. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, use your characters wisely.
Maybe so.
Really, we should just call you Corey. You're like Madonna.
It's
you know?
True.
Yeah.
Thank you, Corey. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye.
See ya. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroll. We'll get back into the Titans draft coming up next. Take your reaction to the drafting of Will Levis at number 33 overall by the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got a Moments Pieced $100 gift card to give away, and we're going to do it via trivia question on the text line. So here is the question, and remember, it's the text line. Do not call in. It is the text line. The Titans selected Vince Young with the third overall pick in the 2006 NFL draft. Who did the Titans take with their second pick in the draft in 2006? Who did they take with their second pick in the draft in 2006? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, 615-737-1025. You will win a $100 Moments Piece gift card and be qualified to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card and a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena coming up on May 26th. 615-737-1025. The first person to correctly guess the answer will be our winner today here on the program. Joe, do not say it, but do you know the answer? He's muted. He's still muted. I don't know what's going on with Joe. We'll get him figured out here in just a second. 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts and your reaction to the Titans selecting Will Levis in the second round of the 2023 NFL Draft. They take Levis at number 33 overall. They move up to go get Will Levis as well. And I said this earlier. Now, obviously, we talked a lot about Will Levis in the pre-draft process. I was not a fan of Will Levis, did not like the pick or the idea of the Titans selecting him in the draft there, and now they've moved up and they've done it. I put this out there earlier. Not a fan of the pick, but now really the only thing I can do that the pick has been made is to have an open mind as they move forward and wonder if the Titans, with Mike Vrabel being at the helm of this, obviously, but Tim Kelly, Charles London will play a role in this too, can they now take the raw tools that Will Levis possesses and mold that into being a good NFL quarterback? That's now the charge and the question for the Tennessee Titans. Can they do that? And Will Levis, as we know, he's got a huge arm. He's got great athleticism, especially when he's healthy. He can move around in the pocket well. The question with him has been the turnovers and the decision-making. Can that be better as they moves into the NFL level? Through 23 picks in 2 years at Kentucky, that's a lot of interceptions. It's a lot of turnovers. Can you cut that down? Can that be coached up as you hit into the NFL? But lots of interesting reaction back and forth on the selection of Will Levis as it relates to the Titans moving up in the second round to go get him. Threw this out there earlier too. The one problem that I still have with this pick beyond, you know, the Will Levis part of this that has nothing to do with Levis himself, and we talked about this earlier. If you're the Titans and you're taking Will Levis, you believe that he is your answer at quarterback as you move forward. You believe that he's got a chance to be your guy and your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. So if you believe that and he was there at 11 for you, why didn't you take him? Obviously, they took Skoronski at 11, and it ended up working out. They were able to get back in there and trade for Will Levis. So maybe that was the plan all along. Maybe they knew whether it was trading back into the back part of the first round or the early part of the second round that they could get him. But that's a heck of a risk to take at that point if you weren't just totally convinced that you could land him a little bit later on. So if you believe that he was the guy, why did you not do it at 11? Do we have Joe Rexroad back?
Let's try.
We have him back. There we go.
Okay. There you go. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But, yeah, it's a very interesting situation. Again, if you're the Titans, you want to – ultimately, you want to be proven right but kind of wrong about Will Levis. You know?
Yeah.
You're right in coming up to get him, and he becomes the quarterback you hope for the future, and then also you hope you're wrong that when you didn't take him at 11 and you basically got lucky that you were able to get him at 33.
Yeah, for sure. And it's been quite the interesting weekend of reaction on this front. We have a lot of people that are upset with the Will Levis pick. I got a lot of Tennessee fans that are upset with the Will Levis pick. And I would say, Joe, today on the show so far, we have heard more from the people who are happy with or maybe changing their mind on the Will Levis pick based on where he was drafted. Or I guess maybe based on the fact that he's now the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans as they move forward. But there's been more positivity on the Will Levis front today than I anticipated heading into the show, which I kind of like.
It's interesting. It's like, I mean, here's a back-to-back text on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Love the pick, especially at 33. Was absolutely needed. Who else going to back up Tannehill? Well done, Rand. Right?
Yeah.
And then I know that the pick was right next, or the text used to be right next to it. It was basically, and now I can't find it. Okay, well, anyway, there was a text, I swear, that was right next to it that was like, this is an awful draft. What are you all talking about? It's terrible. And, you know, you can go through all the picks. You know, short arm, offensive guard, and all that stuff. By the way, something Corey brought up that I heard he and Jared talking about. Like, Corey's like, yeah, Hutchinson, was he, you know, he's like a all-pro guard. Jared's like, well, that doesn't help you win. Like for someone who like spends his life talking about and watching football, how could you not understand football that badly? Yes, great offensive guards do help you win, and also bad ones absolutely help you lose.
Oh yeah,
I understand the idea of if he's a guard, that's high for a guard, and it means he better be great. But like this idea that, you know, premium positions so the other positions don't matter on the field, If you have a great inside linebacker who makes plays all over the place, not a premium position, don't give a crap. Does he help you win? Yes.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. How are we doing today?
I'm happy about it, but I'm not ecstatic. You still didn't draft any real receivers, so that was stupid. But I said, I don't think we need any defensive players drafted. And they legit did not draft a defensive player, so I was good with it. Like, yeah, we needed so many positions. And I know I talked to Jared on Friday after that first-round pick, and I'm like, man, I know you're upset, but you shouldn't be because we needed a lot. And I think it was a pretty good draft. I think the quarterback selection was weird. It's cool because they're talking about us, and as a fan in April, I'm happy when they're talking about us. But at the same time, I don't know if this dude's going to be good. I kind of thought he was, you know, arrogant, a jerk. I probably wouldn't like him just by what I was getting from some of the stuff he was doing. But at the same time, man, he's got a rocket. I mean, it's like I'm hoping if you have a player like P.K. Subban that's flashy and everybody else in the league hates him, as long as he's on your team, you love him. So I'm hoping that it's something like that with Will Levis. Hopefully he gets in here and he's just studly and we can embrace that everybody else hates him. But I don't know. Overall, all offensive players, I love that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. Joe, you could feel Adam like talking himself into Will Levis.
Do you remember his call on Friday? Do you guys remember his call on Friday? Levis didn't make it in the first round.
Now he's his guy.
Now he's yours. Yeah. Now he's yours.
That's what happens, Adam, man.
He's your guy.
I will say.
That was the first Levis PK Subban comparison I've heard.
I was just going to say, and maybe this is a me thing, I just hate when people automatically are like, he's cocky, he's arrogant, and we really don't know anything about him, and all we know is from an Instagram photo. And
well, he's a little cocky on the field, which I'm fine with in a quarterback.
Yeah,
by the way.
But like arrogant, I don't know. I just think speaking of people's character when you like don't actually know them is just like that's just the assumption. Yeah, you can be cocky on your field, but it's so funny when it's a certain player. It's like, oh my God, you're the greatest player ever. Michael Jordan, so cocky, talks trash. We love him. And then it's like, oh, and Draymond does it. Oh God, he's awful. He's a villain. We hate him. You know, like you can use it both ways.
Joe, just speaking for me, like I kind of want my quarterback to have a little bit of that in him. I mean, look, my guy in Green Bay is maybe the cockiest human being on the face of the entire planet. And that's what he was like for the past 15 years.
These are all good points made today on WHMR, the Homer.
615.
I got a Levis question I want to get to on his contract coming up. Very good question on the text line.
Okay, we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. By the way, answer to the trivia question I threw out there last segment. Titans drafted Vince Young in 06 at number 3 overall, their second pick, Lindale White, running back out of USC. So congrats to Trevor, who was the first person to correctly guess that. So Lindale White, the answer. Joe, did you know that?
No, but that makes sense. Now that I think back, yes, they got the other USC guy. There were a lot of USC guys who were good back
then.
There were. Coming out of college.
First round of that draft's pretty fun to go back and look at, too, from Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and DeBrickashaw Ferguson. Interesting picks there in the first round.
Oh, my. 6-1. Go back and look at those grades.
Yep. So, Joe, you had an interesting question about Will Levis's contract that was brought up.
First of all, on my college friend text line, I got my buddy Guru says he just texted this picture of me with the Dukes, which is really a scary picture. Says, looks like a crazy person eating mayonnaise with a spoon. And then I told him I put it in my coffee. He said, oh, because of that Penn State backup quarterback the Titans drafted.
Yeah, good. Very good.
Nice. But LD from McMinnville on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com asked the question of, as we kind of go back to the Tannehill discussion, to maximize Levis's availability, shouldn't he play this coming season based on his contract length? So I think that's one of the points someone would make if they wanted the Titans to just cut Tannehill. Again, I don't think there's a trade market. I could be wrong, but I think it's probably cutting him. And then you play Levis. Again, I mean, you expect Levis to beat out Willis. Boy, if not, there's all kinds of wild stuff going
then
on.
We got some problems. Yep.
Yeah. Well, but maybe you have, maybe the flyer you took last year all of a sudden becomes brilliant. But so here's my thing, LD. I hear what you're saying because obviously you don't have the fifth year option because you took him in the second round. But look, if he's good enough, then you will extend him. You'll give him an extension going into the last year of his deal, right? You can still do that. You can still extend a guy. You just don't. Obviously, it's great to have the fifth year option, but like, how are you maximizing someone's availability if you're rushing them onto the field as a rookie? So basically, I mean, to me, that's fanking, and maybe that's the plan. If that's the plan, so you can get a Marv. You're starving for Marvin, then fine. But like, what you need is you need Will Levis to be a really good quarterback starting in 2024, and you need him to do that again in 25. And if he does, then before you get to 26, you will extend his contract.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chris from Atlanta. Chris, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. So the best way I could put this is I'm really trying to be positive about this class. I really, really am. To me, it's you know, we always talk for, you know, football recruiting. This to me is a foundational class for Rand Carthen. That's the best way I could put it. Now, where I have a hard time with it is the fact that yes, we drafted all offense, which is great, you know, considering the needs that we had. But still, it's the wide receiver question. And even if I was Vrabel, I would really look at Vrabel and go, your best success was having Derrick Henry at the running back position, Ryan Tannehill with a capable offensive line, and on that, two wide receivers, and Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, that could take pressure off of Derrick Henry. And right now, I'm looking at that and going, you have nothing to that level. And so for them to draft a wide receiver with the last pick, yeah, that's great. You fulfill a quote-unquote need. But there were so many other good wide receivers in between the last pick and maybe Tajay Spears. Or if you want to go back even further, even between him and Will Levis. So for them to say, yes, we had our board or we went off our board, that's great. But it's also ignoring what you guys really, truly needed to kind of take that next step.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be positive, but the fact that we didn't do that kind of grinds my gears a little.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate it. I mean, Joe, the bottom line is, you know, we can talk about Peter Skoronski, and obviously they took him 11 overall, and they need him to be great where he is. And we could talk about Spears, and we could talk about not taking a wide receiver until the seventh round. And all those things are important and worth discussing. The bottom line is the fate of this draft class is going to come down to Will Levis. Like, if Will Levis is great, that's where people are going to remember from this draft class. And if he's not, quite frankly, it doesn't really matter what any of the other guys do, because then in 3 years, 4 years' time, you got to go find another quarterback anyway. So this is going to begin and end with Will Levis and what and how he plays at the next level.
No question. Well, Nick Suss had a good piece in the Tennessean to that effect, which is like, he went back through some other, you know, quarterback drafts, significant quarterback drafts, where it's like no one remembers, you know, like this fourth round pick or this second round pick. Or, you know, it's when you do this, and this is like, it is different. It is to an extent taking a flyer because you didn't go first round, but it's different than Malik Willis. Malik Willis, you're at 86, and if I remember correctly, I think John Robinson said the big board thing last year when they drafted Willis, basically like big board said Willis. So they took Willis at 86. This was go get the guy at 33, sacrifice a third rounder next year. Obviously that's nothing like what they would have sacrificed for CJ Stroud. And that's the thing. I mean, I can certainly make the case that, cause I think CJ Stroud is going to be good. I can make the case that Will Levis could be better than CJ Stroud in the NFL. I'm not predicting that. I could certainly make the case that what you would have given up for C.J. Stroud, the value here is a tremendous benefit or by comparison But still, is he going to be great? That's what he has to be, and that's how this draft will be defined. And to me also, with Ran, with Vrabel, Ran MVC, Ray Ran, whatever you want to call him, to me, this is both of them now. I consider everything they do now to be as much Vrabel as anyone else.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Paul in Nashville. Paul, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. If you all have addressed this already, I apologize, but I wanted to get your take on the press conference and the whole long spiel about the guys and how it's their only draft day and how just weird that seemed. I'm sure that there's going to be a hot and heavy dose of that this afternoon, so I was hoping to catch a more balanced take from you guys. It hit my ears weird. But as a journalist and as sports experts like you are, what do you guys think?
So what specifically are you referring to there from the press conference?
Oh, when Rand Carthon went on and on about how the media should, I don't know if it was just the media or Twitter about the players and, you know, everyone should be nice. It just was weird.
Yeah,
it was
gotcha.
Just not normal. That was what I was curious about.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Paul. Appreciate it. Joe, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I wrote about that today in my 2,500-word sort of takes from the draft. Well, first of all, what I thought when he said it, and I wrote this, is like, oh, my God, Twitter's going to go off on this sucker. Holy cow.
Yeah, boy, did it
this
ever.
Quote is going to be, yeah. So, you know, look, and for people who don't know, I'll give you a little segment of the quote. He's basically talking about these kids are living. We're asking questions about Tajay Spears. I keep wanting to say Tajay Sharpe. Tajay Sharpe.
Yes,
Tajay Spears'
me too.
Knee, right? Yeah. His knee. And so basically he's like, I want to say something here, guys. And he's like, basically like, look, like this is a joyous time. Here, quote, this should be a joyous moment for us to praise these kids. This is a moment these kids are going to see this. This is a moment for them and their families to rejoice because it's only going to happen once. There'll be other times to critique what they've done. This is a moment for them and their families to have something to be proud of and enjoy this moment, end quote. And there was a lot more to it than that, but like, as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's going to get absolutely crushed for this. Here's the thing. You guys know me. Like, I'm big on, I think it's a lot of it is, like, my age now. And, I mean, I could almost be the grandfather of some of these kids. And I do look at it differently. Like, some people, you know, no matter how old they get, they're like, hey, what's wrong with your knee? Hey, what's wrong? Why'd you drop that pass, you loser? No, I'm not speaking about anybody in particular. But... Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm for like being more human, and I'm for more perspective and having some, you know, some decency, you know, in these interactions and everything. But I mean, come on, I mean, it's the draft, and all the questions were just about an injury. This team has a history of injuries, and I think the thing that with Carthon on this that I would say is like, let's remember that there's no other league in this country that's anything close to this in terms of people caring about drafts, okay? Oh, yeah. NBA draft would be next because we do see a lot of those guys playing college basketball. But this is 1,000 times more important than any other draft, and it's absolutely broke. And it's part of why the NFL is so much more successful, all of it. And part of that is absolutely digging in the nitty-gritty of all these draft picks. So, yeah, like, I mean, I certainly disagree with them, and it's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I also knew some of the criticism would be over the top and ridiculous too. But, yeah, I would just say that's one of those, I get it. I'm for some of what you're saying, but in this situation, if we're not asking nasty, unfounded questions about someone, yeah, we're going to ask about someone's health history, man.
Well, especially given what's happened with this team on the field the last 2 years. Why would you not ask about it? I mean, they've been the most injured team in the league the last 2 years. It's a question
The time to celebrate anything is not when you're talking to media. We're not here to celebrate anything. We're here to ask you questions.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on Will Levis and the Titans draft coming up next. We'll get into a wild weekend of NBA, NHL playoffs as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Joe, they're rolling through their NFL draft superlatives on Get Up this morning. And the best value pick of the whole draft given to the Titans for Will Levis by our good friend Mel Kiper Jr. I'll give Kiper credit. He sticks to his guns, man. He really does. He was banging the drum for Levis the whole first round.
Big time. Man, he loves Levis. We should have Kiper on here on WHMR. Talk about a little Will Levis, how there's really nothing bad and everything good about him.
I just want Kiper on the phone, and we can have Caroline join us too, and they can just go back and forth in Kiper voice the whole time. It'd be good.
Yes. Now, Dennis has a good question I wanted to get to here. I mean, again, this is another day where we could use more show. We don't have enough show.
We've been sabotaged.
Now, in July, when we have 15 minutes of show, you know, come talk to me. But Dennis says, now that the draft is over, how many starters will be on offense opening day who weren't on the roster last season? So let's see. I'll say Dillard, Skoronski, Brunskill.
Yep.
And, yeah, he's talking offense. I think that's probably it, I guess you could look at Wiley. I think Wiley is basically, you know, the young new Swaim. I think he has more receiving upside than Swaim. His measurables are good. And look, here's the thing. Wiley, you know that's fickle, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there is value in your best friend being able to tell you the real deal. I mean, we one thing that happens this time of year, whose story was it? I think maybe Sando's story. Recently, he's like, yeah, Dabo's full of crap. I don't believe him. He says all these guys are going to be all pros. Like, at some point, you tune them out. It's important to have people you trust. Mike Locksley, Maryland's coach. Well, the Titans got a pretty good value in Chig last year. Now, Rand wasn't here, but Rand mentioned a Vrabel connection. He's known him a long time. Locksley coached Rand at Florida.
Yep.
So now they get another Maryland kid who there's a lot of – it's like super athletic, great measurables. Does he care? There's a lot of questions about him. They bring him into the building. They love him. They draft him. They might have a super sleeper there on their hands. But those personal connections, I think, are good if they can help, you know, inform your decisions.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Big E from Nashville. Big E, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. I am a huge Titans fan, but I will say that I'm not a fan of the Will Levis pick. If you're taking a flyer, which I think I understand the whole prospect about this being a good value pick in terms of where they got him, but if you're taking a flyer at quarterback, is he really a better flyer to take than Hooker in this situation? You could have gotten a starting wide receiver or a stud tight end like Mayer from Notre Dame in the second round, and not give up much, and still get Hooker in the third or late second with a small move up. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Levis takes the wheel from Tannehill, but I think that the Titans could have done better. That's just my take on it.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the call, Big E. I mean, Joe, obviously, we're going to have a lot to get to on the Will Levis front over the next few days and weeks and months and years as we unpack Will Levis to the Tennessee Titans. Really enjoyed the discussion on that front today. We're going to obviously continue to talk about Will Levis and this Titans draft class all week long. I do want to get to the playoffs in both the NBA and the NHL because it was a wild weekend on both fronts. Starting in the NBA, the Warriors take down the Kings yesterday. Steph Curry with 50 points in Game 7. And we're going to have LeBron and the Lakers and Steph Curry and the Warriors in Round 2. Which is going to be awesome.
And again, if you could have seen me yesterday, just an absolute pathetic fanboy jumping around my living room. Luckily for Katie, she's out of town, so she didn't have to witness it. But no, it was incredible. It's one of the best performances I've ever seen. I'm biased because I love the Warriors, but seriously, it's a historic performance by Steph Curry. And, I mean, basically, no one else. Looney gets every rebound, and Curry hits every shot. And other than that, you know, Draymond plays good defense. I mean, Clay was terrible yesterday, couldn't hit a shot. Wiggins couldn't hit a shot. Incredible, and I can't wait for that series.
By the way, the Grizzlies just getting absolutely smacked by the Lakers on Friday night. They got destroyed in that game. It was unbelievable.
And then Dylan Brooks doesn't talk. Absolutely so weak. So weak. Get him out of there.
Yes.
Get him out.
They need to move on from him. We'll see how that goes this offseason. On the Stanley Cup playoff front, had a couple of Game 7s yesterday. The Boston Bruins up 3-2 in the game yesterday, up 3-1 in the series originally, won 65 games and set a wins record and a points record in the NHL. And the Panthers tied things up with a minute left in regulation yesterday, 3-3. And then Carter Verhaeghe wins it in overtime for Florida. And they bounced Boston in the first round after the Bruins won 65 games this year in overtime. What a win for the Panthers.
Called shot. Ding, 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 ding.
You nailed that one.
Also, yesterday, if yesterday wasn't the ultimate endorsement of just get in,
oh, yeah,
the NHL playoffs, I mean, that's a pretty strong endorsement. Also, I'd like to do a quick shout out to my next door neighbors, the Kearns, who are huge Florida Panthers fans.
Really?
You don't always find that too often. I know that they were absolutely raging through the night in celebration. Congratulations.
You don't find
all
that.
All you Florida Panthers fans.
Even in
out
Florida.
There.
You don't find that very often.
Yeah, how about that?
But the Panthers win. The Seattle Kraken take down the reigning Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche on the road yesterday. And the Leafs over the weekend battle back from a deficit and come back, win the game, and they win in overtime. They win three games in overtime in the series on the road in Tampa. And they actually win and advance to the second round. So you're talking about a first round of the playoffs, Joe Rexroad, that saw the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Colorado Avalanche, and the Boston Bruins all sent home. And by the way, Game 7 tonight between the Devils and the Rangers.
Oh, boy, and I'm excited for that. And good for the Leafs. Also, John Cooper's comments after will tell you, there's some bitterness with Tampa Bay. But look, they lost. They still didn't play well enough. And now the Leafs have Boston out of the way. Canada is about to absolutely melt down with the Leafs-Oilers final.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait till Florida takes them down in the second round with the path opening up for the Leafs as well. Now, a lot of people are like, and I get it, and this, we don't have enough time for me to fully, you know, talk about this today, but like the Panthers and the Preds basically had the same record, and the Preds swept them, and people, and the, like the just get in thing, and, which is true. Like, how many examples do we have of that in the playoffs? I will say, I mean, this team did win the President's Trophy last year. And I know that they've made some changes and
they're different.
In. They're different. They did win the President's Trophy last year. It's not your average 8 seed. When they got drew Boston, well, that's true. When they drew Boston, I was like, "Huh, if you're the Bruins, and we talked about it at the time, like that's a pretty talented Florida team you're going to have to deal with if you're Boston." And they could not deal with it.
And also real quick, how about Grubauer's revenge?
Oh yeah. Just awesome. The Kraken taking down
incredible, man.
The Avalanche. So you have the Kraken taking down the reigning cup champion. It's been a wild playoff so far. And I will say, number one, Devils-Rangers tonight should be interesting. The Rangers look like they remembered how to play hockey in Game 6, which was a huge step up from Games 4 and 5 of that series. So we'll see what that looks like tonight. I will say, especially with Colorado out, the path is wide open for those Edmonton Oilers. We'll see if they can keep things going. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.